remember slow to wrath, because we're going to have a scripture in a minute about a Moses guy who really at times was not too slow to wrath. And one time he grabbed the stick and he wrapped the rock. Remember that? He was not slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We'll get that scripture and we'll see what Moses did. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted sperm word, which is able to save your soul, change your mind, get you pregnant in the head. That's what it's about. So then all of our actions and all of our activities in our teaching and worship are lovemaking. The basic principle is a lovemaking principle of giving and receiving seed. But keep your areas well defined, well divided. You understand that. And the lovemaking in the physical realm produces babies. And the lovemaking in the soul realm produces new attitudes. And the lovemaking in the spiritual realm produces, actually gives forth praise into, well, I have to say it, into the womb of God. Now, some people didn't know God had a womb. But the word Elohim is masculine and feminine. Yahweh is the masculine form of God, or Yahweh, and that's the tetragrammaton. You've heard of all that kind of stuff. And Elohim is the feminine form, is the masculine feminine. Well, that didn't go over, so let me try it again real quick. Adam was made in the image of Elohim. That's why he was masculine and feminine. And then Yahweh, I think it was Yahweh, I'm not sure, don't hold me on that one, caused a deep sleep, fallen, and took the feminine part out. Remember all that? Adam originally was just like God, masculine and feminine. Well, I think that's good enough on this doer thing. I'll leave it alone. So, what have we said so far? That Jesus says, pray that you're not led to temptation. James said, count all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Let no man, when he's tempted, say he's tempted of God. For every man is tempted of his own lust. Now we know lust is our Achilles heel. Then why should we rejoice when we're tempted? Well, one thing that might give you a clue is in Revelation 3:10. Someone read it. Revelation 3:10. There's a little clue here, but I'll admit it's not much of a clue, but I think you might get it. Somebody give it to me. Out of the King James, the one Jesus used.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
What did they keep? Philadelphia Church. What did they keep? Say it. The word of my patience. Well, there's the word again. But it produces patience. That's the word I don't like. You got to wait. I understand some people have to wait 9 months. Some things just take time, don't they? Okay, now you've kept the word of my patience, so I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation that's going to come upon, say it, all the way around. Now, did Jesus say to pray that you're to be kept from temptation? Lead us not into temptation. Don't let us be tempted. The Philadelphia church was promised, because you've kept the word of my patience, I'll not lead you into temptation. But James says, count it all joy when you fall in it. Now watch. Would you agree that they had not received all of the engrafted word? Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your... Wouldn't the people who were already saved in there? Would you agree they had received some of the engrafted word? Would you agree that part of their attitudes were changed? And would you agree they were continuing to receive the engrafted word? Well, as long as they're continuing to receive the engrafted word, then they're healthy. They're changing. And they cannot die. Now, he says, I'm going to keep you from this until you're ready to pass the test. For the word tempt is test. Tempt, temptation is a testing. We'll prove that if you want later on, but it's a Greek. It's testing. So why would we pray, Lord, don't give us the test? Say it. We're not ready. We can't pass. Why would you count it all joy when you get the test? Because God the Father told the devil, they're ready. Do you see it? Now, the devil constantly wants to cause you to fail the test by bringing the test before you've had the course. So we're praying constantly, don't let him bring the test. And none of you are ever going to know when you've completed the course. Only the Heavenly Father will know that. Then when God says they're ready, he'll say, okay, Fido, sing them. And if you've ever noticed what the devil does when he's after us, well, he's been after me a few times. And he's like a dog on a chain, and God has the links counted. And I look at that dog and the snarling and teeth and all that kind of stuff and barking, and it scares me to death. Come on. Doesn't the devil scare you to death? Look, the purpose of the devil is to scare the hell out of you. Really now? Yes, that's what it's about. To scare the hell out of you. That's not cussing. That's good Bible teaching. Come on, how many will admit that you've had a little ill nick now and then? How many of you will admit that you've been in some pretty hellish situations now and then? You ought to get it scared out of you too. Come on. So, God says, go get him, Fido. But he doesn't tell him to go get him until you've been through the course. And then when the devil snarls and snaps, you'll find out his head is jerked back just about a half an inch from your rear end. You can feel his hot breath. But he can't. You know, the Bible calls him a roaring lion. He's a roaring lion. He can't bite you, but he can sure scare the hell out of you. I hope nobody's offended by that, but that's good teaching, by the way. It really is where we are, you see. It explains what we're dealing with. All right, then. Let's try another one. Jesus really was tempted. Is that correct or not? So Jesus had to have lust or he couldn't have been tempted. That's basic. That's what James says. Nod your heads. I know it's hard. We don't like to think that. But let me try it again. Will you agree with me that Jesus was the Christ? Say it with your mouth. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus. Well, I'll say Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Say Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has come in the flesh. Say it. Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus is Lord. Say it. Jesus is Lord. Now, The Bible says any spirit that can make this confession is of God. Right? Do you agree with me that Jesus was God incarnate in flesh? Was this God? All right. Now, here's the problem. If this was God incarnate in flesh, and God said, my soul troubles me. You remember when he was doing that thing? And he admitted the soul trouble. Then it's no wonder we do. We have soul trouble too. But here is the binder. Some people think that Jesus was God when he said, my soul troubles me. And there's the problem. Jesus left his divinity and became as we are, tempted in every respect as every man, yet without sin. One. See? So, while he was growing up, now I know there are some denominations that disagree, but this is all Bible. While he was growing up, he was like us. He had the same lusts, the same desires, the same needs that we do. Can you see it? And it's vital to understand this because the Bible says we must proceed in his footsteps. We must do what he did, and we must overcome the last enemy, which is death. Now, if this was God overcoming at each one of these steps, then none of us have got a chance. If he had trouble, we'll never do it. Can you see it? But this had been God who became incarnate in flesh, taking on all of the frailties and the needs of the flesh so that he could prove it's possible for a human being to become God. Now let's do that again. He said, ye are gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. All right, look, turn around, look at everybody for a minute. You think they look like gods? Look at them. Look at them, just look at them, huh? Well, I hope not. Let's think of this for just a minute now. In what realm are we God? Spirit. Spirit. Then you are God in spirit. But you sure ain't in your head, baby. Come on, nod your ain't head. It needs to be changed. So he sent the engrafted word to expand your mind. Come on now, you know what expand means. What happens when you're pregnant? Change your mind. Give you a new mind. Get rid of the carnal mind, the meathead mind, the lusting mind, and replace it with the mind of Christ. Now, did this happen to Jesus Christ? Was he tempted in all points such as we are? Did he overcome in everyone? Did he prove that he was God incarnate in flesh? Did he lay aside his divinity? Now comes the trigger. Did you lay aside your divinity? Come on, Ecclesiastes 12:7. If you die, if you goof it, your body goes back to dust. Your spirit goes back to God, gave in the first place. In spirit, you are God. Can you see it? And then the Spirit coming from God in the body now is overcoming in you the lust of the flesh, soul, mind. You see it? Because all creation groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not only they, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown within ourselves, waiting for the redemption, I'll get that right in a minute, for the redemption of the body. For we're saved by hope. But they were waiting. They didn't have it. You know why they didn't have the redemption of the body? Because their head souls weren't ready for it yet. So he sent the Holy Ghost to engraft the Word of God in our soul mind to change us so that we can get the right mind so that we can have the glory in the body. Now with the right mind, we'll have immortality. Does it say in the Bible, this which is mortal will put on immortality? But this which is mortal will not put on immortality with the present condition of your head. So now it must be tested, tempted. But your present prayer is, Lord, lead us not into temptation, because I'm still studying the course. You're still studying. You haven't got it. And you'll never know when you know. He'll know. So when he sends the devil and you start to get tempted, count it all joy.
Because keep on praying. Don't tempt us. Hebrews 2 send the devil tempt you when you're ready.
No. Let's do it again now. You keep praying, Lord, don't send the devil. But one of these days he's gonna. And even though you're praying don't, because you know your weakness, you know you've got this Achilles tendon. Lord, don't test me now. Don't tempt me now. I will not pass this test now. I can't do it now. Make me patient. Give me time. Isn't that what this is all about? More time. Give me more time, more patience. Let me have more time. Let me get back in the books. When I say back in the books, you understand this is a parallel right now. Because it's really not in the books. It happens in the coffee clicks. And several other quenches. And other situations of life that happen to us, right? And so that's where it all comes out. We learn our lessons and we take our test. But we're to pray, Lord, don't send the test, but one day he will send the test. And the day he sends the test is the day he figures out that you passed all the quizzes and you're ready to take your college entrance boards or you follow on your finals, your final exams. Okay, just for a little fun, I don't know whether I can get away with this or not. But when you're in school, who brought the final exams and who officiated with the clock and all that kind of stuff? Well, it was usually the principal or his direct, your teacher was there, probably handing them out. But there was a representative of the authority. Are you following me on this? You see? Now, not in all cases, of course, but especially like in the Navy and things like that, where I'm familiar with military stuff, there was always either the captain or his chief honcho, you know, and then the other men were there to administrate, and kind of, but there was one guy who had the final executive authority. Okay, now, who is the chief executive in the testing realm? Satan. And who are the guys going around handing out tests and doing all that? The demons. Got it? Got the picture? All right, let's see if we can do it in another realm then. Now, when you're in school, it's the teachers that are likened unto the demons, and the principal is like the devil. But don't tell the kids at home that I said that. Don't tell them at all. Don't let this get in any quarterly anywhere. But you see, it's the chief administrator that's going to bring it, and then it'll be administered by his subordinates. Isn't that the way it always is? Okay. Now, demons, we find our thoughts. And thoughts are either a holy spirit or an unclean spirit. And the Holy Spirit always makes entry into the mind. Come on. But the womb of your mind is constantly being titillated by unclean thoughts that want to make entry, to cause the lust to conceive and bring forth sin. Are you following this parallel? And you will always be a target for the unclean spirit and the clean spirit. Now, this ought to be halfway reasonable for girls who've grown up in our present society and have been targets. You will always be the target for some masculine force. How many understood what I said? That's wanting to impregnate you. And then, of course, you'll have to choose the right one. You did that in the natural realm, hopefully. You understand what I'm talking about. And in this realm, too. You do look very sensitive, like I may be doing something wrong here tonight. I hope that I'm not offending anybody in using these parallels, but I didn't start it. James did. See, I'm only just telling you what James said. He said it's talking about begetting and impregnating and conceiving and all this kind of stuff. And he told you it's not in the natural realm, but you have to follow the parallels of the natural to understand what's happening as the spirit comes to the soul's realm. All right, so we have these two guys after you. How's that? Two guys after you now, see? And each one wants you. The evil, called the unclean spirit, and the clean spirit. Well, it's obvious which one you want. But one of the problems is, according to the Song of Solomon, that the clean spirit comes in those, and he goes away and prances on the mountains. Don't you remember what happened in the Song of Solomon? He's gone. The bed is made. Remember all that? And I fixed it up with all the fancy perfumes and flowers and all this. He came in, he looked for a while, we played, and he ran off. Now he's up on the mountain somewhere, prancing around. And so in comes the other guy. Are you running? Can you run this parallel? Do you see what's happening? Everything's ready. And he says, hey, I got something for you. Sin conceives, the lust conceives, brings forth sin, and that brings forth death. There's the pattern. You got one or the other. But in order to get the good one, you have to exercise that word that starts with P that I don't like to say. Patience. It takes time. He's a slow worker. He's not a fast mover. Come on now. I wish I could pull all my Navy jokes out on all this right now about these fast workers. But the Holy Spirit is not a fast worker in this realm. Are you under? You know that. He's very slow. He's gentle, loving, caressing, but slow before the changes take place. So you have to exercise patience for the Holy Spirit. But if you're in a hurry, you can entertain all types of spirits. And of course, when you're entertaining these types of spirits, it could be that they'll bring forth a pregnancy as well, which brings forth death. Now, I want to say this again because some people feel like that Dave Ebaugh is saying this. I'm not. I'm just only telling what James said. So let's, you know, I may be amplifying a little on it, telling a few Navy jokes. But it's still the basic. Now let's go along here and do a few other things. He said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of the temptation. Lee, it's not the temptation. But I want to go here to 1 Corinthians 10. Now in 1 Corinthians 10, especially 13, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So So just as, I want to say this right now, just as the wolf in grandma's bedclothes is about to bite Little Red Riding Hood, God always sends the woodsman. Come on. Right, see? But you don't have to open the door for the woodsman. See? You can still go the way the things are developing, or you can take the way of escape according to how you react, Little Red Riding Hood. Am I on this? Okay. God will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But he tells us one other thing, and I want to get the 2 points here. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not tempt Christ. Now let's find out. Does God tempt us? Who tempts us? Okay. What does he... Where is our weakness? The lust of the flesh that seeth, smell, taste, and feel. The things that we satisfy the flesh body with. The controller mind. See. So he uses those. But watch it. Don't you tempt God. He won't tempt you, and you're not to tempt him. And he'll only send the guy with the test papers when he knows you can pass it. Let's do that again. Behold my servant Job. My, what a righteous man. You say he's righteous. Well, he's righteous, and he loves you because of all the nice and good things that you've done for him. Remember the story? You just take your hand of blessing and mercy off him, and you see he'll cuss you to your face. Well, I'll tell you what, Satan, I've been observing this thing, and I'll let you test him. Oh, by the way, don't touch his life. Have at him and see what happens. Remember the story? So Job went through quite a few things. You know what it says about Job in the end? He had twice as much as he had before. And Job's daughters were the fairest in the land. How about that? The fairest daughters in the land. With all of this other neat things that happened. God did not allow Satan to touch him until he knew he could pass the test. But did you notice how hard it was? What one mess of a test. So let's pray that we're not led into temptation until we're ready, because I don't see anybody here that's ready for the patience of Job.
This Bible teaching by David Ebal will continue on cassette number 2.